It's Monday the 8th of January and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
And we're back this week, nice and early in the week, to review the action of the week, just a weekend just gone. Overtime loss in Guildford followed by a pretty dominant win over Nottingham at home. As ever, we will nominate our player of the week before discussing our Armites of the weekend and seeing where that takes us. And then previewing our double home header. Double home header. That's what it is. It's a double home header against Guildford. It's also not really a double header because there's a few days in between, but artistic license and whatnot. But on the subject of Guildford, let's start with Saturday and Guildford away. Devils went to the rink that we still haven't won in this season, having previously had a bit of a crushing loss in the group stage of the quarterfinals and a 3-3 draw in the Challenge Cup quarterfinal first leg. So not high hopes, and I've got to be honest, I went in with a bit of trepidation, but an excellent first period, Sean. Probably saw the Devils come out, saw the Devils come out 1-0 up, but you know, I think that period you wouldn't have felt it was unfair if the Devils had scored two or three maybe in that period.
Yeah, for sure. We were only down as taking 8 shots on goal, but it seemed like we absolutely dominated that period. Zone time, we definitely deserved way more than the one goal. I thought Chris Carosi did really well. Guildford did well in the sense they got in the shooting lanes, but all in all, we were just awesome, absolutely all over Guildford. And I think maybe that's what got us into some trouble is that we didn't, you know, score more than one in a period where we played so well. And after that first period, it kind of all went downhill.
Yeah. Like you said, whether that gave Guildford a bit of hope that they were, you know, doing a good enough job keeping us out, especially when it's 5-on-5 with it being a power play goal from Joey Martin. Second period, saw the Guildford Flames outshoot us 13-9, probably a fair reflection. And there were no arguments that they won that second period 1-0 to tie the game up before going into the third, where Devils just, I think it was almost as if Guildford had figured this out, I felt. They were forcing us wide every time we entered into the zone, and you know, the only mixing up was whether we went wide with a puck on our stick or went wide with a bit of a dump and chase, Sean. And I've got to be honest, at the end of that third period, obviously Guildford and Cardiff both scored a goal, but the last 4 minutes, there was only one team in that game. And at the end of it, I was quite relieved that we'd got a point at 60 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the way that we performed in the two later periods, I was delighted to come away with a point. You know, you don't play, if you play that badly and come away with a point, then it's a sign of a good team. We definitely didn't deserve to win in regulation, absolutely no way, based on the fact we only came out and played at our best for the first 20. And you can't go to a place like Guildford where, you know, they've got some of the best offensive talent in the league. I think they've got two of the top 3 point scorers, and then I think they've maybe got 3 in the top 10, maybe 4, to be quite honest with you. And yeah, like you said, that game was only going one way into the last 4 minutes. And as you mentioned, Guildford was sort of forcing us to dump the puck, and we were trying to play our fast and aggressive style. You know, we're very, very offensively based. We've got a very mobile defence, and they seemed to take advantage of that and just try and catch us on the break. And there were a couple of opportunities where Guildford himself could have won it in regulation.
Two of the last 3.5 minutes, your Devils spent on the kill as well. And once that was killed, still 1.5 minutes on the clock, but it just felt like we didn't leave our zone for the rest of it. And yeah, it was probably nerve biting and went into 3-on-3 overtime
and didn't touch the puck.
I think you might be right. As a team last year, we were excellent at 3-on-3, the run and gun style. We had it nailed. We were obviously not untouchable, but it was one of the real highlights of our game. When a game went to overtime, I would have put us favourites at least 9 times out of 10 to win it when it went 3-on-3. But overtime's changed. If you're watching the NHL, your team's, it's not run and gun, it's getting set. If you need a line change, if you're miscontrolling it, if you're out of position, you drag it back into your own end. get your change, reset and go again. And we don't seem to have adjusted to that. Coventry, I know it went to penalty shots when we played them, but they were the better team 3-on-3 over Christmas for 5 minutes. And for the 47 seconds that this one lasted, you know, Sean said, if we did touch the puck, it was to jab it out of the zone. But also a massive defensive error with two players following the guy without the puck, leaving the league's top scorer, John Dunbar, to rifle it straight past helpless Ben Bounds from the position we left it in. So it's something of a concern, Sean, that, you know, good teams get those single points, you know, when they're not playing at their best. But, you know, last year I felt even when we did that, we could usually turn it on, but seems to be something lacking there. And it's a bit of a concern given the quality of the team, do you think?
I don't think so. I think Guildford have just, we played Guildford very well, to be honest with you. They seem to have just, I said to someone that they just collapse extremely well when they're defending as well. Their collapse is great. They keep one man high on the blue line as well. They break out fantastically. They're so, so quick. I think they are probably, you know, through the lineup, with the exception of Jeff Walker, I think they are the fastest team in the league, to be quite honest with you, from what I've seen. And they take advantage of that by keeping that man high and trying to break away as best they can. And I don't think we've gone in there with the right game plan, and Guildford have played extremely well against us when we've been there. So I don't think it's a blemish on the ability on the team. I just think it's maybe an issue with our setup against a team like that, and they've just been really good against us.
That's fair enough. And one special mention before we come on to the end of the game, Joey Martin scoring his 100th and 101st Elite League goals in the game. So, you know, a big milestone for Joey Martin to reach in. Well, three and a half seasons to get his 100th goal is, you know, no mean feat. And you know, by the end of the weekend, he's on 102. So can't fault him at all.
Yep.
And we don't usually discuss man of the match, but I feel for a change, it might just be worth mentioning. I don't think we touched on it in our Christmas episode, but in the away leg in Guildford, there were issues around the match in that Guildford are weird, and they do the home man of the match first, which seems totally at odds with sportsmanship and just the way things should happen. But there we go. So before Christmas, that happened. Devils heard it and skated off the ice, assuming they weren't getting a man of the match. And then lo and behold, this week, Tom Zruckis, who didn't get a single shift, got announced as the man of the match. I reacted quite angrily, I think. I can say confidently. And we've seen the apology. Sean, for you, hastily scribbled note, it should have been number 27, Joey Haddad, who got no points and had a decent game, but nothing spectacular. Ring true to you, or is this just Guildford trying to get a little bit of a dig back?
I don't know. I'm a bit like, everyone was sort of making a big song and dance about it on Twitter and on the bus, and I it's not something which like bothered me. Obviously, if it was the case, then it's genuinely a disgraceful thing to do, and it's massively disrespectful to Tom Zruckis. But then, in the process of everything that does go on there, you know, it's such a shambles in other areas that it's the sort of thing that just can happen in a place like that. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it was just a genuine clerical error, but then, you know, if you're doing your match night properly, you don't make clerical errors like that. So just do your match night properly, Guildford. Sort it out. Do the away man of the match first, get them off the ice, and then do your shenanigans with your home fans and all that sort of thing, as everywhere else in the league does. Why? Don't just go out there and try and be different. Do it all the same.
I thought there was a little drum beat to finish off here. Your statement there, Sean.
I'm off duty.
Yeah, I think I do agree with that. Whether it was a mistake or not, it genuinely wouldn't have bothered me if it was anyone other than a young kid coming through, just starting to get some ice time. It seemed properly derogatory to choose that one player. So that was my main issue with it. That I think if it had been Luke Bigger, sort of similar situation, he did have a few shifts, but you know, it's not something that's going to like knock his confidence, given that he's, you know, the experience he's already got. at this level. So
I think the awkwardness as Ruckus went up to take the photo, was going to go up and take the photograph, and just saw was just, you know, didn't really know what to do in that situation.
I did like the team didn't let him go up, and but there were three young boys on the ice, and Matt Myers did make sure he went over and had a photo with them. So, you know, that it wasn't the three young boys' fault. It was
I feel like it was Mark Lewis, not Matt Myers. I don't know why.
I was shouting, so it could have been anyone. But someone had a photo with him who wasn't Tom Ruckus.
We'll touch on it in the when we talk about the next game, but I thought Tom Ruckus had an absolute blinder on Sunday as well. Just putting it out there while we're talking about him.
Yes, definitely. Well, we'll move on to that very swiftly. And he's got great hair. That's how I knew it wasn't Ruckus having the photo. Just it's like Jeff Pierce's back, but blonde. It's brilliant. Needed to be said. So that was Saturday, and you know, Guildford have managed to manufacture themselves a little bit of a rivalry through their deliberate or accidental error. I would err on the side of deliberate because I'm a cynical person. But on to Sunday, and you know, Devils obviously wanted to bounce back after dropping a point, and no one better to do it against than one of your title rivals with Nottingham coming to town. And well, what I thought was going to be a very tight game, less than halfway through the first period, Aaron was practically sewn up. But special mention to Matt Pope in the first minute with an absolute beauty of a goal.
Yeah, scored an absolute corker. Like we said, when he was off it, just looked like everyone stopped playing and he was in a world of his own and slotted it home. It was a thing of beauty. But after the first period, well, after 12 minutes of the first period, you could have said the game was done by. You know, Nottingham swapped their goalie over. Corey Nielsen just looked confused and didn't know what to do with himself, and seemed like after the first 12 minutes, it was Cardiff Devils with 2 points. You know, Nottingham did come back and score a goal in the first period, and then scored an absolute corker shorthanded, which I'll let Sean talk about. But it was easy pickings, really, considering, you know, they meant to be one of the best teams and they've done so well in Europe this year. They're not carrying that form about the league at the moment.
Yeah, I think they'd obviously addressed their slump. They picked up a win against Manchester the night before, but I think they'd been definitely comfortably, I think it was 3 goals up before being pegged back and having to get the 2 points in overtime. So, you know, that obviously isn't a convincing result at home. You showed any doubt? You obviously at 4-0 up, it was comfortable. When Ollie Betteridge got that one goal back, did you start to have doubts? And if you did, how bad were they after Jeff Brown's at the end of the second?
After Betteridge's, didn't really think anything of it. It was a lucky, you know, bounced off the back of his skate, managed to end up in front of him, took a swipe at it, and went in. It happens, but when they scored the shorty, I was a bit sort of like, okay, you know, your shorthanded goals are real momentum swings. And I did think that, you know, Nottingham aren't, you know, in the great, you know, in the richest, you know, frame of form, but they can still punish you if you make mistakes. And I thought that was a mistake on our part. Great finish from Jeff Brown, by the way, an absolute rocket of a backhand. And maybe I thought that complacency may set in a little bit, but then I think in the back of my mind, I remembered that Fife game, and I just thought, I don't think we're the sort of side that would let that happen again. And we didn't, in fairness, as, you know, we came out in the third and we looked solid. We were creating opportunities. We didn't give Nottingham too many breaks. And yeah, I think about a minute into the third, the way we came out and bossed the game. I know we were on the power play for a short stretch of it, but I felt like we were correcting ourselves in areas where we'd been a bit slack in the second. And for me, that at that stage, I was fairly confident we were going to see it through into a regulation win. And then Lane Elmer just adds another one to, you know, give us that insurance.
I also think it's good to mention as well that, 4-2 down and we go on a 4-minute power penalty kill with Lane Elmer in the box, and we managed to kill 4 minutes in the third period. Like, you know, if we look back to games prior to our streak, you know, we could have collapsed and lost that game there, but I think we found our feet now finally this season, and we're finally seeing our leads out and winning games, which is huge, absolutely huge.
Yeah, it resulted in being practically 6 minutes with Mark Lewis taking a trip in minor with about 35 seconds left of the Lane Olmer double. So it killed almost 6 minutes. And you know, like you said, it's a good sign that you can see that out. I say this purely as you're on an entertainment level. It was great. The game was quite flat. Those first 12 minutes were brilliant. Absolutely loved it. First period as a whole was pretty good. And then, you know, as you said, Sean, the Devils lacked off. And I got to be honest, I was a bit, not annoyed. I was just a bit like, oh, this is boring. And then it was only when I'm having a chat with you in one of the period breaks, end of the second, I think, and you sort of reminded me we were playing Wednesday and we've got a few midweek games coming up. But I just thought, this is brilliant. This is exactly what I want to see us doing. I don't want to see us chasing a game to put seven on Nottingham instead of putting four on Nottingham. Less, you know, take it as easy as we can whilst keeping it tight. Let's give, you know, extra ice time to Luke Piggott, to Tom Zrutkis, who you mentioned earlier. And let's let Joey Martin have a bit of a spell sat on the bench, which he did. You know, he was skipping shifts for a change instead of double shifting, which always nice to see. But as you mentioned him in the Guildford game, Sean, Tom Zrutkis on his shifts, you know, looked very good. I think one of his first shifts on a defensive face-off, he held off a Panthers player. It showed some really good upper body strength and then played a nice pass to clear the zone.
Yeah, and really good to see the crowd encouraging him as well. Even, you know, when he was on the puck, there was constant applause and encouragement. I really, really liked that. I thought the crowd got behind him fantastically well. And I think he's carrying on from what we saw in pre-season. You know, during pre-season, I said I would have liked to have seen him feature a bit more for us. And he's getting some power play shifts as well when we're, you know, when we're comfortably leading games. And it's not just like, you know, they're just throwing him in there just for the sake of it. You know, those are still important minutes, even if we are leading. And I think it's really good that he's getting those opportunities and fitting in well with the team. And I think that's really, really crucial to his development. And I'd like to think that next year we can make it a permanent fixture along with Craig Moore to give us, you know, arguably the deepest roster in the league, because they've done nothing but good things and proved to us that they can play at this level.
Just as a question, do they both, if the under 23 rule stayed as it was, do they both qualify next year? Do you know?
I believe so.
Isn't it?
Ruckus is 20, isn't Craig Moore 21?
I think Craig Moore's 21. Oh, yes, that would definitely
be. Yeah, so we signed Craig Moore with the idea of keeping him a bit, little bit longer term. So, yeah, I think that would be the case, yeah.
Craig Moore's 22.
So, yeah, there's another year there at least. Oh, well, yes then. Yes, please. I'd very much like that to happen. Yeah, so, you know, just a great night. You're a little bit flat towards the end. The crowd was very flat, but I think it was just that whole, there's not a lot going on because the Devils are just seeing out a game that they more than comfortably won in the first few minutes.
Is that poor because you didn't think we were playing well, or just because you think that there's no tension there, the game is done?
I think the tension might have been part of it, but
you know, you start the game with it so tense, thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be a really tight game, and then you put four on, and then like for 50 minutes that isn't the case, and I think that takes away from the game as a whole. We like eased off and didn't try and score goals. We weren't just completely sitting back and, you know, trying to absorb all sorts of pressure. We were still going out there and making chances and being, you know, playing north and all that sort of thing. So I don't think it was that. I think it was just the fact there was nothing riding on what we were doing.
I think you're probably right. Actually, thinking about it, that yeah, I was quite worried about the game. I was thinking this is going to be a really good game as well. I've seen before the game. But it was one that I was looking forward to. I thought it was going to be a good, tight contest. And yeah, so you had that tension beforehand, the exuberance of the early goal, tension while it was 1-0, and then, you know, the sheer 2 minutes of awesomeness where you score three goals and see a goalie get pulled, score on the replacement as well almost straight away. But yeah, I think it was that. And, you know, we were obviously going north. We weren't driving forward with the attack you'd expect in a one-goal game or a game you're chasing, but thinking back, I wouldn't have wanted to see us do that, but you know, just on the night, I was like, oh, this is a bit, And I think the night before was such a tense game. It was always a one-goal game in Guildford as well. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. But I'm not complaining. We can do that for the rest. We can have 10 minutes like that every game for the rest of the season and just see the games out. I will be very happy when we get our trophy because obviously that won't happen. Yeah, it's not going to be that way though. And when I'm chewing my fingernails in the last minute, I'll think back to those golden times when I was bored of a Nottingham. I'll look back with envy at myself. And overall, it's a great weekend for the Devils in the end. Picked up 3 points, which actually gained us a point on Belfast, Sheffield and Nottingham. The only team that we didn't gain a point on, we lost a point to Fife, who are now in a position where if they win their 4 games in hand, they go level on points with us. They've gone about their job quietly, but I think they are starting to put themselves right in the title contender's position. They've got quite a few games against Brayhead left, who seem to just give Fife 2 points this season. I think they're playing Edinburgh and Dundee this year. You look at the bottom 5 teams in the Elite League, 3 of them are in the Scottish Conference, one of which has only got 7 points. And Fife have beaten us this year. Fife have run us close up there. And I think they've already beaten Nottingham and Sheffield, I think, as well. So it's not like they're not doing it, but there's quite a few points that they can pick up in more games than other teams get the chance. So it's the issue with the conferences that we've discussed many times, but nice to see a different team up there. Let's do a player of the week. I was going to talk about the league table, but I don't think there's much more to discuss at this stage of the season. So, Aaron, who do you want to pick?
I'm going to go with Mr. Consistent, Joey Martin. All season he's been absolutely crushing it, putting the points up, scoring goals. Justin Farina unofficially tied on goals. The goal was awarded to someone else, but it was Justin Farina who scored it. But 5 points in the last 2 games. I think he's on something like a 13-game point streak, playing out of his skin at the moment, and he's doing the job for us. So, yeah, I thought he had a brilliant weekend on and off paper. So, yeah, Joey Martin for me.
Sean, who gets your vote?
I'm going to go with Gleeson Fournier. I thought in Guildford he was brilliant, tried to make things happen all the time. The two shots on the net for Joey Martin's deflections were simply unreal. He has this ability to put a shot on net with so much power, but it's not reckless. It's hard enough to get to the net and get there quickly, but soft enough for someone to get a deflection and make a good bit of contact with it to evade the netminder. And I thought on Sunday as well, he tried really hard to make good things happen. And I think he's been unreal for us all year. Joey Martin will get the plaudits for the goals in Guildford, but I think Gleeson Fournier put so much effort into it and the game as overall over the weekend. I think he's my player of the week.
Oh, what a conundrum, because my 2 picks that I've been weighing up in my head have been picked. I was sort of hoping that there'd be a unanimous decision, or Sean was going to go left field and I could just award it to Joey Martin. They both would have deserved it equally. This is tough. I'm going to go for Joey Martin for the strange reason that I really think he is underrated this season. I think as Devils fans, we've come to expect his level of play as the standard. And I think we're almost not appreciating enough how good he is when he's just being good, because Joey Martin just being good is excellent. And I think his work, his game, I think I'd probably edge it for Fournier on Saturday. I'd probably edge it for Martin on Sunday. You're weighing him up and just going to give the little nod to Joey Martin. The guy got his 100th Elite League goal. So I think fair enough for top player of the week. On that point, because we're going to move on to Rama in a second. But a question for both of you. We'll have a burning question very quickly as it's just popped into my head.
I think I already know what it's going to be, but go on.
Oh, well, you can ask the question if it's not. Have we become guilty in Cardiff already of just criminally underrating our players? It's almost like I feel like now we do rate Mark Richardson because we realise he's underrated. And I think most people are there with it. But I think like Ben Bounds is having a good year. We never talk about Ben Bounds anymore because he's having a good year for Ben Bounds. He's not outstanding, but he's still very good. I think Joey Martin is the same. I think Matt Myers is 100%. I think Fournier has picked it up from last year, so you're not getting it so much. Joey, your dad, as well.
I think Andrew Hotham as well.
I can't believe I didn't think him, but yeah, Andrew Hotham having a good game is outstanding, but we all sit there and think, oh, well, didn't really notice Andrew Hotham much because he was just as good as he always is. Is that the case for you, Sean?
I don't think so. I think the fact that we won our league title last year and we realised what they all bring is massively influential. And the fact that, in a way, I can see where you're coming from because we're so deep. We're deep in so many areas. We don't have a go-to guy anymore. Whereas in years gone by, you know, you had your Jeff Pearce, you had your Stuart McCrae, you had your Max Beerbriers who would just grab games by the nuts and win you points. And, you know, in Joey Martin's first year, I think Joey Martin was that player. But then I think we've just surrounded ourselves with so much depth from top to bottom. Bounce's game has got better. You know, Joey Martin's got even better. We've added Sean Bentivoglio around him, who's having a fantastic year again. You know, there's another name you missed there, Sean Bentivoglio. I don't think we do, to be quite honest with you. I think it is just the fact that we do have such a deep team and they are, you know, You talk about underrating players, but I think as a team, this group has been underrated by fans all year. I think that, we've nitpicked in it a lot of times, ourselves included. You know, we've picked holes in it where we feel appropriate. And then we play games like we have done in the last couple of weeks. And you realise just how vital all those little cogs are to creating a well-oiled machine. And that's what we are at the moment. So, no, is my honest answer. Because we appreciate how good the team is overall, and it's a team game.
I think that's fair enough. That we can't pick a player to gush about because on a given night there's probably half the squad that could be that guy. So yeah, okay, I'll give it. Was that the question you were expecting?
No, it wasn't actually. So now I'm intrigued to ask this one. Do you want to answer that, Aaron? Do you want to add anything?
I just think for me, I never really look for. Like I'm quite a critical fan, and you know I'm a sofa coach, so I always look for the players that play not so well rather than the players that play well, because like I think when you mention like your Joe, your dad, your Matt Myers, your Hothams, your Martins, Bentivoglio and things like that, I think because well not so much Bentivoglio, but like the rest of them. I think as we've seen them so much over the last 4 years and they've always been that consistent over the last 3.5 years, sorry. I think we're used to that and we're used to seeing them play at that level. So that's, and to be honest, I'm picky. So I'll pick, when we talk about the weekend games just gone like off, I usually go ham on one or two players who I don't think played that well. So, yeah, it's not. I think it's hard to praise everyone when you're top of the league and everyone's playing exceptionally well. So, yeah.
Cool. Go ahead, Sean. Ask your question that you thought I was going to ask.
Okay. While we nominated Joey Martin as our Player of the Week, it just clicked to me that a couple of weeks ago in the pre-game Q&A, someone mentioned, I think it was Todd Kelman and Neil Francis said that Joey Martin is the greatest devil of all time, and I just wondered if that is the case for the two of you. Aaron, obviously you have a lesser period to evaluate, so it's going to be easier for you. So do you want to go first on that? Is Joey Martin the greatest devil of all time?
Points-wise, production-wise and things like that, like in current Elite League era, not like the Super League.
In context, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think so, because like, you know, there's no one more consistent than him. And he's not just a player, you know, he's got the personality to go with it. He's a nice guy, and yeah, I think he's fantastic. He can do literally everything. All right, his penalty shots have dropped a bit this season, but literally anything. Like, how many times have we said, coming towards the end of the season, sign Martin on a 10-year deal and things like that. So yeah, I think in the last 10 years, definitely. Because obviously I like a lot of the history behind the club and stuff, and I follow, like, I know about, like, Stu McRae and, you know, like...
The cult heroes, yeah.
Yeah, like, the big players and, like, the Craig Weller year, and you always hear about stories and stuff like that. So, I think probably in the last, like, 10 years, I definitely think he's probably one of the greatest devils, but history-wise, you know, you can't really take it away from, like Doug McEwen and Johnny Lawless, Shannon, like, the people who are in the rafters. You can't really take it away from them. They're up there for a reason, and they so.
Paul?
I'll do it. It's since I've been watching the Devils, which is, you know, pretty much 15 years now. Yes, without... I wouldn't even... I think the only person I'd possibly question it with is Andrew Hotham, but I think Joey Martin is better than Andrew Hotham. You can't compare positions, but... For the last 15 years, so in the Elite League era, for me, Joey Martin, hands down, best Devils player. I haven't seen anything before that, which does make it hard, but I still, it's hard to say yes, because he hasn't got the longevity of Doug McEwen, who I think would be probably 9 out of 10 people who've watched that long, he'd be their pick. But if he does it for another four or five years, if we win another two league trophies in that time, for me, then yes, I think. Yeah, you know, I know the Super League was an insane standard, and I know people say that we're not quite there yet, but you know, he wasn't all that period that he was playing in. And I just think, I don't know, you can't fully compare it, but I think Joey Martin has made as strong a case as anyone has, and like probably as strong a case as anyone will if he sticks around, you know, till his playing career is over, because. He is just, he's that good, and he's consistent. And I suppose the only thing that would interest me, and there's almost certainly not going to be any records of it unless we get people to dig out their hockey annuals, was Doug McEwen consistently top ranked across the league, or was he consistently the top devil? Because Joey Martin now for four seasons has been one of the best players in the league. And you know, that's not disputed by teams around the league. That's, you know, everyone would agree he's probably top five, top 10. Which if you think best players, people have already seen him a couple of times a year, that's really high praise. So yeah, I would say he's as close to being the best of all time as I'd want to give it, not having seen anyone else, or not having seen everyone else, and obviously yeah. Doug McEwen specifically. That'd be the case for you as well, Sean, or would you be bolder and to give it a yes?
Paul, I think I'm probably about the same margin as you, maybe half a season, so the half the BNL. From watching video, obviously it doesn't tell the whole picture, and we're the same in Aaron in that context, that we hear stories and people talk about how great Dougie was, but then it's a completely different game now again. Is Joey Martin the greatest Cardiff Devil of all time? He's getting there. He is definitely getting there. And I think in the fact, what you were saying, Paul, if he can, you know, I think even if he pulls another two seasons out and consistently scores points and plays the way he does, then yeah, I think he is. I think just some of the class you see from him, his skating is right up there with the best in the league. He can dish up there with the best of them. I just think he's a really complete player. He's not afraid to get physical or battle for pucks in the corners. The club loves him. I think he loves the city. I think he's bought into everything that the Devils is about, and the Devils have bought into him as a player. And you know, you look at Adam Keefe. They used to call Adam Keefe the heartbeat of the Belfast Giants, and I think that Joey Martin is the heartbeat of the Cardiff Devils, to be quite honest with you. And I think that is probably a higher accolade than, you know, the greatest Devil of all time. At the moment, he's the heartbeat of everything which makes this club tick. And, yeah, I think we consistently build a team around him. He's our first guy signed back every year. He makes guys around him constantly better. You look at Morissette's game this year. Morissette has been scoring way out of his, you know, out of his projection from myself. And he's been playing power play with Joey Martin, playing some regular minutes with him. And in answer to your question, is he the greatest Devil of all time? Not yet, but he's the heartbeat of the Devils at the moment. And I think he could be way on, but he's already well on his way.
I just there's not season stats, but sort of very quick look at W. Cook. Obviously, did 10 years, not including his very short stint in the Elite League, and ran just over half a point every other game in the Super League. So you think in terms of points per game, Joey Martin's exceeding that. So you'd have to imagine that Joey Martin is a higher standard compared to his peers than Doug McEwen would have been at the same time, would be my assumption. But obviously that's a very difficult thing to paint.
Coming from someone like Neil Francis as well, who played and was around in that era, and Todd Cameron, who did play in that era as well. So, you know, those are two people who've seen British hockey at their peak. And we've talked to people who still think that Martin is right up there. So
if Neil Francis says it, he's obviously going to, he's been there, done it, and he's got a much better knowledge. But, so two burning questions off the cuff there. So, you know, if anyone thinks of any hashtag burning question, send them over during the week and we'll discuss them. And we'll actually have a bit of time to think of an answer rather than just making it up as we go along, like we usually do. So we go in this early in the week. We've not had any Rami suggestions this week. So we thought very quickly we would do some of our own. Sean, for you?
I loved how Matt Pope elevated his game on Sunday and showed us exactly what he can do when he's on his game. And I hated the reaction to the game and the lack of physicality and that people seem to think we got bullied. I hated that, and I hated the fact that the level of hockey that we're playing isn't being appreciated just because we're not throwing big hits or fighting all the time. That's my hate.
Aaron, have you got a Rami suggestion?
Things I love, the fact that out of the last 30 available points, we've taken 29. I think that's amazing, and I think that's the reason why we're at the top of the league. I think if you go back to the form we had at the beginning of the year, you know, we was winning two, losing three, winning one, losing one, and, you know, we finally decided to turn it on, and we've put ourselves in the position to do what we did last year. And so I think that's amazing, and that's my love. And I think my hate is probably, I think, the same as Sean's. I think, yeah, I can understand, like, hockey is a difficult sport, I think, because, like, a lot of fans come to see a fight and a hockey game break out, you know, as the famous saying goes. And I think a lot of fans, like, have been long-time fans because of the big names. Like, if you think of, like, most people's favourite players, they're always the tough guy and the one that throws themselves about and stuff. And I think because the team we've built this year, you know, we haven't got a lot of guys that are going to go out there and throw checks and fight every night, because we don't need to. I think when you're 4-1 up, why take a 5-minute penalty or maybe a 2-minute charging penalty for throwing a hit? It's just not worth it. I think, if you want to go watch a fight or some aggression, go watch a boxing match, go watch MMA. Don't come watch hockey. You're there to win games and win trophies. You don't win games and win trophies by fighting.
Fair enough. They're very consistent on the loves and hates. What did I love? Very, very small, but I loved seeing Justin Farina skate around before the Guildford game, bobbing his head in tune with the Justin Farina chant that was coming from the away section. That made me chuckle. I also quite liked the Guildford going silent at the end of the warm-up, which gave us full pelt to sing You Need a Haircut to Ben Davis, and was the only noise in the rink. at the time, that really did make me chuckle. So I'm going to go with that.
And Mike Will as well.
Oh, we love Willie when he was right there and he was laughing. And it was just as they were lining up, and there were quite a few of the Guildford players who had a little chuckle at that as well. So it was nice that the Guildford kept it nice and quiet for us at the start of the game. And my hate. I'm going to say I hate how annoyed I got at the man of the match decision. It did annoy me, but I don't like reacting to things like that because it almost validates them, and I'd much rather have walked out. And I wouldn't have. I like having a little rant, but yeah, I think I'd have felt like I'd have taken the higher ground if I'd have just left rather than giving Guildford the time of day for it. But I do fully agree with both of your hates. Just before I start talking about it, hashtag Rahmite, what do you love, what do you hate? You've only got 280 characters to do it. Aaron used about 5 minutes. So it's a little bit harder for you, but yeah, send them over. We like reading them. We like discussing them on each show. So get them over as the weekend goes. Oh, got a game Wednesday and a game Sunday. So during the game, after the game, it won't be during the game. Let's be honest. We're in Ice Arena Wales. But the physicality point, I agree with you both to an extent. I think there's fans who've been watching, well, probably a similar amount of time as Sean and myself, who, you know, we didn't really know success. It wasn't a word that you really associated with the Devils on a consistent basis anyway. And yeah, some high energy, high intensity hockey was the reason that you got hooked. Obviously, even in the Welsh National Ice Rink, it was a smaller ice pad. You know, hockey was still a bit more about that. So people have almost, that's how you watch hockey. It's big hits. It's maybe the fights, but it's that high energy. And it is a change. It's something that I thought I'd find more of a jarring change, if you like. I think if we'd have moved to Ice Arena Wales without the new ownership, and we were still struggling on under Reagan-type owners, putting out, you know, 6th, 7th place teams, I think I'd have struggled with it a lot more because you're going to not have the winning, you're not going to be as skillful because you're not signing such high-end players, and you couldn't play that. You can play physically, but the game wouldn't be as crash and bang. So I think I see where it's coming from, but you know, I love watching the speed of the game that we play now. And I think back to games in the very start of the Elite League where you were having 6 fights a night against London.
And finishing fifth.
And even the games where you'd have multiple fights, by the third or fourth fight, I was usually thinking, come on, I want to get home tonight, or I want to get a drink after the game. You know, it was just, it was like fighting for fighting's sake, and you know, things like that. Just, that's not what interests me in it at all. And it is interesting talking to fans who've been around from day one. A lot of those have a sort of different attitude because John Lawless was very famous for, you don't retaliate if someone drops the gloves, you turtle, let them take the penalties, score on the power play. That's how to hurt a team, not fighting back. So I think a massive part of it is when you start watching, and you know, what I'm going to say is going to sound really flippant, and I don't mean it, but it's almost as if that's the type of hockey that you want, it's almost like the Devils, if you can't shift it, the Devils won't be your team. You will naturally almost fall out of love with the game because it's not the game that got you into it, and you're not enjoying the way it's changed. I don't mean that as we can just get rid of fans regardless, but it's got to be difficult not to enjoy the way it's going, Sean.
No, and I totally agree with you. I don't think it's down to the fact that I just think the game has changed so much, and it'll change again. You know, it's, you know, there's, I watched Ice Guardians again a couple of days ago for the umpteenth time, and there were guys talking about how the game has changed, and you know, there isn't the same buzz around games anymore. And I just think it's just a different game. People don't go there for that aggression anymore because, you know, the game has just evolved in so many different ways. It's become so much more professional. It's a lot faster. And the skill is, you know, light years ahead of what it was, you know, you're thinking back now, it's almost 10 years ago, or way over 10 years ago, that we moved into the BBT, and you look at that team that played on that small ice compared to this team, and I think we'd need to go hit triple figures with this team, playing against that team. Just because it's just evolved so much. And yeah, I completely agree with what you say, is that you fell in love with that game when it was played, you know, it was aggressive and there were, you know, a couple of fights, and but it just isn't that anymore. I still think it all has its place in the game, without a doubt. I love nothing more than a hit and the occasional scrap, but it's not what I go there for. I go there to watch my team win and to play good hockey, and anything on top of that is fantastic. You know, if we get a fight on top of it every game, then brilliant. But if we don't, I'm really not bothered, as long as there's a banner going up at the end of every season.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. And so on the other part of your point, Sean, that we were bullied, for you, Aaron, I've got to say, obviously Sean didn't, it was his suggestion, especially in that Nottingham game. I didn't feel like there was anything particularly untoward, and I definitely don't feel like we shirked any hits. There were hits thrown by the Devils, there were hits thrown by the Panthers, but you know, for you, did you feel we were out-muscled, or you're made to look a bit weak in our home rink?
Not at all. I don't see how that could be a point, because, like I said, we was at least three goals up the entire game. So I can understand there being a ruckus if it was like a bad late hit on one of our smaller guys, and you had one of our tougher guys on the ice, and there was no retaliation. I can see the point of that, because you don't have to do anything. You could just say anything, you know, go over, you can't do that, next time you do that, you know, just like a warning kind of thing. But I don't see how you can say we got bullied at all, because we it's not worth taking a 5-minute penalty of one of your guys, like, especially like if it's Mark Lewis, because Mark Lewis is playing D now because Paris is injured. And Mark Lewis, you could probably say, is our go-to tough guy. So if he fights and he sits, you were taking one of your D-men and probably one of your penalty killers out of the game for 5 minutes. So that means you were down and potentially conceding a goal, which could lead to, you know, the Panthers jumping in on the play and scoring and getting more possession and then scoring again. And then next thing you know, you've got a tie game. Next thing you know, you go into overtime. Next thing you know, you lost. It's like, we didn't get bullied. We just played a sensible game of hockey and we took 2 points from it. And fair enough, if it was a tight game, you know, it will get a little bit more niggly. But I think we just thought, you know, we're at least three goals up. Keep your calm, keep your cool. Don't risk any injuries. We got a game Wednesday, and the Wednesday game up until now was probably the biggest game of the season, because if we don't win, we're out. So I think that was Lord's mentality, and I think that's what Lord passed on to the team, and what a game plan executed perfectly.
And you know, just on that, looking at the penalties, and I thought both games were this weekend, actually, under the 4-man system, as a small point. There was a hooking penalty, there was a tripping penalty, there was a high sticking penalty, you know, all of which, incidentally, you're not going to react. And there was the boarding penalty from Evan Mosey that was a bad hit, but the arm went straight up. Do you really want, as Aaron said, guys reacting, at least cancelling out the power play, maybe taking a 2-2, taking a 5, you know, all sorts, or breaking a hand, throwing a punch? It wasn't a Matthew Gagnon who's potentially doing it on purpose. It was a bad hit. I did shout for it, but as soon as the arm went up, I thought, well, I'm glad we've not reacted. And I think there are fans that would rather see us drop the gloves every time there's a bad hit, whether or not the arm's gone up. But for me, I think if that hit hadn't gone called, I would have expected something to happen, whether it's a fight or just we go out and play high intensity for 5 minutes and put everyone we can through the boards. Because I'd agree, if we're letting things like that go, then yeah, potentially you are being bullied, but I didn't get it. And yeah, obviously we're in agreement. And on the flip side of being bullied, and I do think, given that that's all the penalties there were, I think there is an element of any big hit people want to see a reaction of. if people want that, then have a look at the Jay Rosehill Dops video where a perfectly legal hit resulted in him hooking hell out of two different five players before checking someone off the perk and taking a six-game ban for having a meltdown. Or alternatively, Zach Fitzgerald going headhunting on Spiro Galakis. A nasty hit. He got thrown out of the game. I think he's got a five-game ban, was it, Sean?
Four games.
You know, a four-game ban, which... and then he obviously missed the rest of that game, which they then ultimately lost. At the end of the game, Galakis throws a check to the head. I can only imagine in retaliation of the retaliation. Gets himself a penalty, which gets upgraded to a match. He misses the next night. And then Yamtin having a brain fade, giving up a 7-minute penalty for throwing punches. So if you want physicality, then both Sheffield and Belfast lost games that weekend almost directly due to decisions that their players made to be more physical. And I'm sure Sheffield or Belfast fans would much rather have walked away with a 4-point weekend than having seen whatever rubbish their players were dishing out. So it's a very interesting thing. However, it did result in two regulation results and one each for Sheffield and Belfast. So a very happy result, Sean. And same again this weekend. When Nottingham go to Belfast for you?
Well, I think at this stage, I think I'd take Nottingham taking 4 points, to be honest with you.
Though if Nottingham won their games in hand, I think they'd go level on points with Belfast at the moment. So. Points on board, games in hand, teams involved. Again, don't want any overtime, and I don't want Belfast taking 4 points, anything other than that.
As long as Belfast don't win both, then I'm happy, regardless of what happens otherwise. Yeah.
We'll take that. But never mind everyone else. Obviously, it's the Devils, and we've spoken about Guildford a lot, given that we've played them. We're going to talk about them a lot next week, as they're going to be the only two games you've got to discuss. So nothing too extensive here. As you know, Aaron mentioned that potentially the biggest game of the season.
So far,
most definitely. I'd like to think there's going to be bigger than a quarterfinal second leg coming for us. But it's 3-3. We have, as we said, we haven't won in Guildford yet this year, but we have won both home legs. And with man of the match, Gate, that visibly wound up some of the Devils players that were on the ice. Sean, are you expecting a response from the Devils? And, you know, a fast start to the game at the very least?
No, I think we'll approach it like any other game. I think we'll want to win it a bit more. The desire will be there, but I think that if we let that get to our heads, then it may put us off and give Guildford the edge, and I think they will have rattled us, and we don't want that. So I think it's just business as usual for us. I think it's going to be more in the crowd more than in the team. I think that's Andrew Lord's team talk is done. All he's got to do is say, look what happened. That gives us even more reason to go out and want to win this game and beat these guys. So just go out there, do your thing, and, you know, hit them where it hurts in their pockets when they don't get their semi-final.
Exactly. And I'd imagine if it is tight, speaking of the hitting in the pockets, it'll be Todd Cowan that's probably the most nervous with a semi-final gate on the line. And then Sunday's going to be very much dependent on the Wednesday game, Aaron, do you think? But you confident going into the games, or you know, have the recent results in Guildford made you a little bit wary?
You know, every year we have that team that we kind of struggle against. Last year, I can't remember who it was because we done well last
Nottingham.
Year. I was thinking Nottingham, but I can remember beating them. So. But yeah, every year we struggle against a team. I think this year that team is Guildford, and even when they've come down, they've run us close to the wire. They've beat, like you said, we've never won in their rink, so they're going to think they've got our number, and I think we've got to change that tomorrow on Wednesday night, then Sunday night, sorry. Take the 2 points in the league, because, you know, if we drop them, we're giving them essentially 2 points to Fife, because they don't seem to be dropping any points with their fixtures running at the moment. But yeah, it's a bit like Sean said, business as usual. Go out there, play our game, and come away with a win, hopefully, because I think Guildford is our biggest struggle this year. I'm a fan of some of their players because they're fantastic, but I'm not a fan of their team. So hopefully we can come away with it.
That would be very, very nice.
The question as well, who is their coach?
Paul Dixon. He's been their coach for a few years, I think. And you've got to give him credit. He has stepped up into, you know, higher level a league and taken to it like a duck to water. You've got to say this.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was like, I was expecting like a Canadian or American coach, you know, to do some changes, but fair play.
They stuck with it, and yeah, definitely showing, definitely paying dividends from you. Can't fault that at all. That is everything though. As you said, get your burning questions, get your Armites in, through both the Guildford games. Let us know what you think, what you want us to discuss on next week's show. Thank you for listening. Hopefully I'm going to remember to add the jingles on this week and you won't have come straight into my dulcet tones. For Sean, Aaron and myself, thank you for listening. And that is your Red Army Roundup. Devon inside, Devon inside. Every single one of us, Devon inside.